Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 598, Science Faction Unrandom Mutations and the Oldest Humans.
Unrandom mutations would make for much more powerful X-Men. Like right now, we're kind of selecting what random mutation gives us. But if Professor X get in the lab with a CRISPR, knowing what we know now.
Yeah, why do you need Thanos to go get his gloves? If you could just engineer the mutant to have that ability in the first place, he could do the snap without having to go through all the rigmarole.
Yeah, so Glove Master was created. Got you, Bobby. I get what you were saying. He just has the ability to control guys with gloves, right?
And speaking of the Glove Master of this show, I, of course, am your host, comedian, archaeologist, Glove Master Robert Timothy. And with me, as always, is my glove Padawan, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. And as we all know, no glove, no love, which makes Bobby a terrible, boring-ass lover. Just refuses to raw dog you, no matter how much you pay him.
Well, I mean... As somebody who controls all who wears gloves, then yes, as my own personal sexual safety, I will require you to wear one.
Actually, no, this is ridiculous, by the way. Do you realize, like, because I know your superpower, I refuse to wear condoms anytime. And it makes me look like an asshole in a relationship. Like, no, I cannot give Bobby the power over me, even for a moment.
It makes you look like an asshole in relationships and UN peacekeeping work.
Topical. That's an unfortunate consequence. I mean, but like, also, my hands are basically useless. When I go to cold places, my hands freeze because if I put one on, even for a second,
I have control. And I'm just waiting. I'm in the shadows.
Yes, Bobby and his crystal ball.
All right, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
Somebody out there do a Bobby pondering orb meme.
Article number one, mutations are not always random.
Like sometimes like they appear random to the naked eye, but in actuality, they're revenge for something.
No, it means that if you know the pattern of the mutations and you're really good at mutation counting, you can actually beat Vegas.
That, or you could be born with autism, I guess. And just Rain Man mutations? 64 alleles. Definitely 64 alleles.
So this is a super interesting discovery out of UC Davis, and I want to kind of go over it, go over why it's so important, why I think it was greatly underreported in general news last week. So you probably learned about mutation in like high school bio class. And when you did, you probably learned about how mutations can happen during specific processes like meiosis or mitosis when your cell is splitting or your cell is producing gametes. It can happen literally from sunlight. A UV ray can come in and cause a mutation in your DNA, hence how we can get skin cancer. Mutations can happen all the time, and they're usually self-correcting mechanisms that essentially correct them, which is why we don't always get cancer when we walk out into the sun.
Sentinels, if you will.
Yes, I guess those would be mutation-correcting machines, right?
Yes, your body creates sentinels to deal with these mutants. And there's like a Senator Kelly that runs the system, I don't know.
Yeah, and I always thought the fact that my body made it red and purple was a little effeminate, if you asked me. I mean...
Is that why the inside of our body are red and purple? Because I am a fucking sentinel?
Certainly the sentinels you produce are red and purple, yes.
What about my semen?
I was always thinking, like, your idea is, like, you're supposed to try to sneak up on a mutant. First of all, you're two stories tall. And second of all, you're painted like a fucking Brazilian float in Carnival. Like, why are you so brightly colored?
FAA regulations, Bobby. Like, once you're above a certain, like, the case.
He's got a giant blinking light on his head.
Exactly.
So we used to think this entire process, this mutation process, was essentially random. It just randomly happened. You know, this A got switched with the C, blah, 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 blah. And the transcription and the ribosome, when you're going in the ribosomes in the transcription part with the RNA, you know, it got flipped one to the other. We always thought that's what was going on. But this new paper brings up a really, really interesting possibility that mutation is not actually random. So what did this group discover? They found that In fact, certain areas of the genome appear to have very low mutation rates, and some of those areas were where essential genes are located. Genes for things like cell growth and gene expression, where if you get them slightly mutated or fucked up, you're dead. And this is really interesting, because it suggests that those kind of essential genes are protected from some level of mutation in some way or another. In fact, it's so protected that they found that mutation frequency is reduced by half inside gene bodies and by two-thirds in essential genes, meaning that any of your essential genes are two-thirds less likely to get a mutation than other genes. That means there must be a fairly strong pressure there. So what was the experiment and how they did it? How did they do it? This wasn't done in humans. We don't technically know if this applies to us yet, though genetics seem to be transferable through plants and humans, hence Mendel. But this was done in plants. In fact, it was done with a really common weed that's considered like the lab rat of plants, because it's got a really short, simple genome and is super easy to work with, and I get off so hard when it dies.
Are we talking like a banana kush or something? Like something simple?
Yes, that type of weed. Correct, Davian. It was.
Oh, you guys are just talking up fucking dandelions, man. I'll go back to my OnlyFans.
They grew a shitload of these in like protected lab settings specifically to grow them in scenarios where there wasn't strong selection pressures on them. Their idea was like Idiocracy, like every plant survives, and that way we don't have like strong selection pressures working on the genome. And then they looked at all of the different plants that came out of the experiment, and they analyzed all of their genomes, and they noted over 1 million mutations. But to everybody's surprise, including the people doing the research themselves, they found that where those mutations arose was not random. And that was a huge deal. Like, one, that's amazing. We know why this would be. You would want to protect those genes, but we don't necessarily know how. How in the world does our DNA organize itself that way? That's really interesting. And the likelihood is they were able to kind of predict, after seeing this a lot, whether or not a gene would be in those essential or protected groups based on the way it wraps around a specific protein. So it seems like part of that 3D shape. Remember, we talked about DNA being kind of like a 3D origami molecule, and how it bends and moves will affect how it works. And so how that DNA bends around a specific protein will tell you kind of whether or not it's going to be in those protected classes. So probably has something to do with how its protection is delved out.
You could argue then that I am a master at origami, because every time I crumple up a piece of paper, I am simulating DNA.
No, that's nothing like DNA.
Huh. I'm sorry, what's DNA?
It's human growth hormone, right?
Yeah. Explain it to me like I'm on the OJ jury. There was a Glove Master joke. Either it was OJ, Glove, you know what?
Johnny Cochran is the original Glove Master.
You must acquit. You must acquit.
That was better than Damon's old motto, which came from those all-you-could-eat restaurant buffets, when he would refer to the food when he was all full. He wants to eat more, and he would say, if it doesn't fit, I must take a shit to make room for the rest of this buffet.
My body is a well-tuned machine, and I know that if I push hard enough on the top end...
It was still confusing as to why you felt the need to perform that in front of a jury. I mean, that court case had nothing to do with you. I don't know why.
It was a relevant story.
Very, very, very interesting. This is going to change if we find this applicable to everything, you know, all living things, not just weeds. This is going to change how we see everything, how we see mutation, history of evolution, evolutionary processes. I mean, we're seeing epigenetic factors affect this. And so, you know, that's going to change how we look at the epigenetic effects of our actual genome in terms of its ability to protect or not protect certain genes. And like, by the way, think of this like an old school CD-ROM. That means there are parts of our genome that they're not rewritable, but it's much harder to rewrite them. In fact, it's two-thirds as hard to rewrite them. And so, like, if you think about this in the future, when we think of, like, getting CRISPR from bacteria and all that stuff, if we think about this and we, like, extrapolate in the future, maybe in the future we will find these genes that we want to make sure don't mutate, because when they mutate, they cause trisomy 21 or they cause something else, and we really want to make sure they don't mutate. So maybe in the future we can somehow move those into those protected zones so that we get less mutation on important genes that can cause problems. You can kind of extrapolate how this might change the future of medicine, but regardless, even if it's just like a conceptual discovery, it is fucking awesome and amazing and changes our understanding of evolution and biology.
Yes, this is an early contender for story of the year at the Science Story of the Year.
And still, Damien, let me ask you, did you read literally anything about this anywhere?
No.
Yes, this is my point.
I mean, I do have access to your email. I read it when I read the show notes to include the I Call BS answers. So, yes. Oh, dude, do you realize you have a lot of security? Do you realize how much, like, Tom Cruise acrobatics I have to use?
To get to my email?
Yeah, and fortunately, your dog loves me, so it won't bark.
Yeah, but the hard part is needing a forklift to get it out of there because of all the emails that I get from fans.
I just took pictures of the warehouse that you keep of him.
Looks like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. All right, article number two, old Omo.
Of missing out? Like not the fear of, just...
I believe that's FOMO.
No, but you just said Omo, which tells me that you don't have a fear of it. You're just like, I'm missing out.
I'm aware of missing out. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Not going to be terrified.
Listen, I can't go there because everybody knows I don't wear a condom and everybody thinks I'm crazy because of this bot. Nobody believes me that I'm being hunted by an evil mutant supervillain.
I don't have FOMO. I have something else I called FOG. It's a little bit hard because the acronym is FOGH, and it's fear of getting horny.
Yeah, the H is silent. I just thought you'd had a fear of going, like, to the restroom.
No, it's GH, FOG.
You have a fear of getting horny because you're like a sexual Hulk. Like, you wouldn't like me when I'm horny.
You would not like me when I'm horny.
You're just saying that, like, when you get horny, you turn into a fucking rapist. That's what you're saying here on mic.
No, I just destroy cars and shit.
With my dick. Hit that man's humping my Chrysler. Get him off.
The less offensive sexual Hulk doesn't necessarily commit assaults, but he does text a lot of girlfriends at 2 a.m.
By the way, Marvel should... there's a lot of... This is our Marvel episode. There are a lot of Marvel references on this one. Because, as we've discussed, we are part of the MCU. We are the drive-time morning DJs of the MCU.
So this article, which really, really interesting, refers to the oldest Homo sapien fossils we had anywhere. And then we found some actually older stuff in Morocco that dates back to about 300K, just very recently. But the Omo fossils for like 50 years or something were the oldest, maybe even more than that, were the oldest known Homo sapien fossils. They were first dated when I was in undergrad at around 180,000 years old. And then shortly afterwards, around mid-2000s, we actually found some volcanic ash there. And we're like, actually, it's closer to like almost 200K. We got it wrong. It's closer to 200K. And it's been stagnating there for a while. And then just recently, an article came out that discovered that there is a thin layer of ash that's associated with an eruption at 233,000 years ago. That's just over the remains, meaning that what we thought was a 180,000-year-old, one of the oldest Homo sapiens on Earth, is actually a 230-some-odd, at least, year-old, one of the oldest Homo sapiens on Earth, and the other one being now at 300,000 years old in Morocco. These are starting to come together, that we probably had a widely dispersed groups of Homo sapiens. I mean, I know Americans are not great at geography, but do yourself a favor and look at a map and look at how far apart Morocco and East Africa are, and especially because you have to go through the Sahara to get there. And so when you're looking at a place like Ethiopia, like this, like, I mean, that's a huge, that's, I think it's much further than going across the entire United States. And there's the world's biggest desert there.
Okay, Bobby, help us paint a picture to the fans. Don't make them look something up. They're Americans. You're going to lose them. We're going to lose
that's
fans.
True.
So let's pretend that Morocco is Alaska. How far south am I going? Am I hitting California? Am I hitting Baja?
Well, you're going to the other side. So if you're on Alaska, you'd be heading towards the East Coast because Morocco is in the northwest of Africa. Ethiopia is on the far east of Africa. It actually sticks out, you know, the horn.
All right, well, out there will I get to Nova Scotia or am I going in the ocean?
Yeah, I think I'd have to do some like looking at maps and stuff. I think you might be around like Maine.
Maine? Okay. Nice lobster. Okay, gotcha.
That explains it. Yeah, so basically what we're saying is this fossil is incredibly important to the knowledge that we have of prehistoric Homo sapien, because up until a few years ago, it was the oldest one we possibly had. It was actually way older than we thought. In fact, It was much older than we originally thought for most of its lifespan. We thought it was 180,000 years old, bumped up in around 2005, I think, to about 200,000 years old, and bumped up once again now to at least 233,000 years old. Really, really neat as we push back the origin point of our species.
I get it. Humans are great at separating. Just as you get older, you just want to get more rural. You want to move out. Like, you look at you, Bobby. You bought some property out in rural part of San Diego.
That's right. Well, I mean, to be fair, it's like 15 minutes from downtown, but yeah.
That's simply due to an incredible freeway system.
Oh, thank you, audience, for coming out for Science Faction 598, where you learned all about how mutations are not always random, and how one of the oldest Homo sapien fossils on Earth is actually a lot older than we thought. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 599.
Welcome back to K2 New York. I'm Chance McMaster. Our leading story tonight, after not being seen by friends, family, or co-workers, the Hamburger Helper mascot was rescued from what police are calling sexual slavery by the mutant supervillain, Glove Master. On a Zoom call with the mayor, he referred to his victim as the San Francisco Treat, which I believe was Rice-A-Roni. Now let's cut to weather with Jenny.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.